right. Well, good afternoon, First Baptist Church of Jenny Lind. It is good to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon to again look at our weekday devotionals. And so you'll recall that all throughout the week, a couple of days a week, I want to post a very brief video, a video that I hope will encourage you, a study into God's Word, a point of doctrine or devotion. And so for this Tuesday broadcast, I want us to look at again, the spiritual discipline of prayer and how God gives us prayer as the means to deal with our anxiety. Friends, I venture to guess that there are many of you today, perhaps even friends that are outside of our church community who are tuning in. I venture to guess that some of you have a lot of fear and anxiety that's weighing on you. And so my prayer as we look at God's Word this afternoon is that by the truth of His Word, God would reveal to you and reveal to us anew the joyful communion we have with Him in Christ and how He urges us, commands us, calls us to bring to Him all of our anxieties, to trust in Him, and to hope that He is the God who brings peace. So, our reading will be out of Philippians 4. We'll look at verse 4 of chapter 4 down to verse 7. Friends, let me read God's word to us. The word of God says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you this afternoon, remembering that you are the God who gives wisdom and understanding. We pray, enlighten our minds by the truth of your word, and by your spirit, we pray, stir our affections to fresh worship and adoration, joy and thanksgiving that you are the Lord, God omnipotent, who reigns, and that you reign even today over this virus, over this present circumstance, that you rule in wisdom and grace. And Father, according to your mercy, you have opened a new and living way for us in Jesus Christ through his body of flesh. Lord Jesus, through the cross, we have access to the Father. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you ever live and intercede for us. So we ask, oh dear Spirit, come and teach us how to pray. Teach us how to bring our burdens and to trust you, oh God, that you are good, and to take from you your peace. For this, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, in verse 4, we see the command of Paul the Apostle, and he commands the church at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always. Dear friends, the Christian life ought to be marked by joy. We are a joyful people. Yes, there is time of sorrow. Yes, there are days of grief, and the Christian life has a place for all of this. The Bible teaches us how to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice in Him when days are good and when days are bad. There is a time for mourning, but there is also a time to take fresh joy in the Lord. And so Paul commands us as the church to always be rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Friends, the Christian is called to worship. We are called to come to our Lord, to come and make glad song of thanksgiving, of praise and adoration. Friends, what fuels our worship is the truth of God's Word. As we grow in our knowledge of God and our love for Christ, so too our praise, our adoration of Him will also grow, because the Spirit of God takes these truths and, just like a fire, He kindles by these logs of truth fresh adoration, joyful thanksgiving to God. So, friends, let me ask you, what can you give God praise for today? Think of all the many blessings that the Father has lavished upon you. And when you think of all those blessings, perhaps earthly blessings like family and friends, a warm house, food to eat, protection from sickness. I want you to look beyond these temporal blessings to the greatest blessing that the Father gave, and that is Jesus Christ, His Son. Friends, every time we look to the Lord Jesus, as we look to the cross and remember how He suffered and died and rose again for us, how He ever lives and intercedes as our great High Priest, Jesus Christ Himself, our risen and reigning Lord, this is cause for fresh joy and worship, thanksgiving and adoration. So friends, let us be zealous to stir our hearts to worship, to give thanksgiving to God, to praise Him at all times. Because, verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Paul reminds the church at Philippi that they are to be reasonable. That their reasonable faith, their reasonable trust should be made known to everyone. Friends, we don't have just a wishful hope. The Christian hope is grounded in the promises of God and His character. That God has made to us such good and precious promises. That He is the God who saves. That He is the God who keeps. That He is the God who leads. And so, dear friends, the gospel is not a call to leap into the dark and hope that God will catch you. But rather, the gospel is a logical, thoughtful, coherent communication of the promises of God to sinners as we are, that there is reconciliation to Him and reconciliation with others in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and that as we repent and believe and come to Christ, we might have assurance of everlasting salvation. And so, whatever the circumstance, we might find fresh joy in our Lord, in His reign, in His righteousness, and in His constant care. So, dear friends, we need the truth. The truth arms us and prepares us for worship, and it also prepares us to give a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in us. And then, very briefly, he says, the Lord is at hand, verse 5. Well, remember, friends, the Bible again and again reminds us that the Lord is coming, and He's coming soon. That the day of the Lord is coming. Every day that passes is another day closer to the glorious, beautiful, wonderful return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is part of the Christian hope, that when Jesus Christ returns, He will gather in His church. He will make an end of all sin and lawlessness, that the kingdom of God will be consummated, that there will be an end of all evil and lawlessness, and that there will be a great day of rejoicing for God's people. But friends, remember, we don't know the exact day when Christ returns, but the Bible tells us to be expectant. Every day that passes is another day closer to the return of our Lord Jesus. So the time is at hand. It's rapidly approaching when Christ will come again. And so Paul reminds us, be prepared. Be ready. Don't be slothful in your zeal. Don't be weighed down with the cares and deceitful endeavors of this world. But keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the prize, because the day is coming. And so, friends, every true Christian will persevere in that hope, because God promises to preserve us. And so we have a word of exhortation. And then in verse 6, we see these very simple yet profound words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right. Hear the command in verse 6. This is a prohibition. Paul, the apostle, speaking under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking as a spokesman for Christ. These are the very word of God. These are the very words of God. And this is a prohibition. God is saying to you, Christian, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Friends, for many of us, that is easy to have in the head, but it's hard to have in the heart. It's one thing to have it in the mind, but it's another thing to get it into the bloodstream. And so we need God the Holy Spirit to begin to bring to bear on our soul in the day of distress, in trial and trouble, this prohibition, this command to stop. Do not be anxious. Well, we say, well, Paul, can I be anxious about big things? Can I be anxious about the coronavirus? Can I be anxious about my family and friends? Can I be anxious about the things I see in the world around me? Paul says, no. You must not be anxious. Now, what does that word anxious mean? Now, again, friends, in the scripture, there is a time for godly concern. Friends, the Christian is called to be concerned about what's going on in his life, in the world around him. And when things are going awry, there will be trepidation. So what does Paul mean here? Do not be anxious about anything. Does that mean I just need to kind of like a light switch, flick it off? I just need to buck up when I feel worried, when I feel anxious. I just need to stop and pull myself up by my own bootstraps and say, no, I will not worry. Well, that's not what Paul's saying. Paul is giving this prohibition because just like the policeman, as you're driving your car and he puts his hand out to tell you to stop. That's what Paul's doing. He's saying, stop. Dear Christian, if you are anxious at this very moment, stop. Look at your heart. See where you're at. Understand that to be anxious is not to be trusting. To be anxious is to say, Lord God, if I were in control of the universe, I would do things differently than how you're doing it. Friends, what's at the heart of our worry, at our anxious fear, is pride. Because we want to be in control of the circumstance, of the situation, and the gravity of the distress reminds us that we're not. Dear ones, we're not in control of COVID-19. We don't control its whereabouts. We don't control where it will go. We do things in wisdom to help cause it to not spread as quickly. That's why we're not meeting face to face. But ultimately, friends, our control is so limited. We have such a limited ability to contain it. And so when we feel anxious, friends, the command comes first to stop. Whatever we're doing, the command is to stop and to realize that when we are worrying, and again, that word anxious means to brood over something, to turn it around in our mind and to sit and wrestle. It's like continuing to scratch at a sore. Right, we have this problem, we have this issue we're worrying about, and we just sit and we scratch and scratch and scratch and scratch, and it just gets worse and worse. Well, that's what we do when we are anxious. We are not trusting the Lord, but instead we are exacerbating the problem. So the command, don't be anxious, but then here's the remedy. Because, dear friends, your Father loves you. Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father in heaven knows every worried thought, every anxious, dreadful thing that comes into your mind. And instead of just giving you the prohibition and saying, buck up, he says, stop, turn. This is how I want you to deal with your fear. Dear Christian, you deal with your fear not by bottling it up, not by ignoring it, not by projecting it to someone or something else, but by bringing it to the Father in prayer. So Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. So don't be anxious about the little things. Don't be anxious about the big things. But then he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. As one author has said, God is saying here that there's nothing too small in your life or too big in your life that you can't bring to God. There's nothing too big for God to handle, and there's nothing too small that he is unconcerned about or not in control over. So, dear Christian, everything in your life, bring it to God in prayer. Lay your heart before him and make these petitions. But don't be worried about anything. Don't let fear and anxiety crowd your mind and turn your affections away from the sovereign Father who loves you and from the Lord who reigns as your King. But everything by prayer, friends, you have access to the Father. You have access to the mercy seat. So come to him. Make supplication. That means to make petitions. But how are we to make the petitions? Well, Paul says these supplications come with the posture of prayer, which is one of humility and reverence. Dear friends, never forget when you pray whom you are addressing. It causes me great distress when I hear folks talking about how they sit and they rage against God and they shout at him and they even utter obscenities to him. And then they say, well, God can take it. Well, dear friends, he can take it. But, dear ones, when we do that, we're showing a profound disrespect. We're not hallowing God as holy. Friends, the fundamental heart attitude of the saint is a posture of reverence before God. We come to him in the fear of him. We want to treasure him as holy, as good and wise and loving and faithful. And so when we make these petitions, friends, we are very careful that we don't disrespect our God, but we come with a thankful, reverent, humble, and trusting heart. We make our requests known to the Father. And here's the promise, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And friends, here's a promise. This is a promise that God makes to his people. Dear ones, this is not a promise that every human being on the planet can claim. This is a promise for believers, for Christians, for those who have set their hope on the Lord Jesus Christ alone, in whom we have access and reconciliation to the Father. The Father will send his peace, the peace of God. Now, friends, when the Bible speaks of peace, it's a much deeper concept than we often think of peace. You know, sometimes we think that there's peace in the house when mom and dad aren't arguing, or when the children are not at each other's throats. We say, oh, that is peace. Nobody's arguing. There's no hostility. Well, that's an aspect of peace. But peace, as the Bible describes it, dear ones, is not simply the absence of conflict, but true restoration. Peace means that where there was once enmity, there is now friendship. And dear friends, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that peace is something that will never change. Our status as being friends of God, of being adopted children of our Father in heaven, of being pardoned and justified sinners, that won't change. But the relational experience of knowing our God and trusting him and rejoicing in him, this waxes and wanes. And so what the Father promises to do is he says that as we stop our worrying, as we refuse any longer to be anxious about anything, but in everything we come to him with godly fear and reverence, and we make our petitions to him in the name of Christ and with our hope and trust in him, he says that by his Spirit he will bring peace. He'll cause us once again to rest and to rejoice in him. And it surpasses all understanding, Paul says. What does that mean? It means it's a supernatural peace which the Father brings. It surpasses all understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Father of peace sends the Spirit of peace to guard our hearts in Christ Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Christ comes as guard. In his Spirit, he comes to guard our hearts from falling on the one hand into anger and frustration and raging against God, for our circumstances, but also he comes and bears us up. He encourages and equips us to live with confidence today, that despite whatever difficulty is in the present or will be in the future, that in Christ Jesus there is victory, peace, rest we enjoy in part and we will have in full to come. So, dear friend, my prayer for you today is that wherever you're at, that the Lord Jesus himself would manifest his glory to you, and that you would take these instructions of the Apostle Paul, and that you would take everything to the Lord in prayer. You remember the old hymn, have we trouble anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are you weak and heavy laden? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And dear friends, as you are beginning with worship, as you are finding fresh joy in your relationship with God in Christ, as you're taking fresh joy in him, this wonderful, delightful communion will be the place where you can find, you can lay your worries down, and you can rest in his sovereign care. So, friends, let me pray for you. Father, we pray, have mercy on us. Oh, Lord, how often we worry, how often we fear. Cause us to trust, we pray. Lord, we do not want to be anxious about anything, but in everything we want to come to you in prayer. We trust that you are good and sovereign and faithful. Lord, manifest your grace to us. Cause us once again to rejoice in you. Oh, Lord, guard our hearts. Lord Jesus, guard our steps. We pray, equip us this day to live for your glory, to walk as people who have a settled confidence, a joy unspeakable and full of glory, a joy knowing our Savior lives, that our Lord is reigning on high, and that one day very soon, we shall have this rest we now enjoy presently in the full. Father, have mercy upon us. Have mercy on your people in Jesus' name.